We got a privilege today. Nate Peterson is here, and some of you guys that have been in Lolo for a while remember Nate. Nate grew up in our church. He's my secretary's oldest son. I guess I'd say it that way, right? And currently, Nate and Jan are serving with the youth ministry at Lion's Den, and I know Jan is involved with music and different things over there. And they've got a, you know, they feel the call of the Lord for some tough duty. They're headed for more training, Bible training in Hawaii. I know. But I know. And I'm sure Nate's going to talk about how tough that's going to be. But a month ago or so, Nate called me up and said, you know, we're leaving in September. I would just love to share what God has been doing in my life and my family, and the call that he has placed in our lives with my home church. And so here Nate is to share that, and we look forward to hearing what God has been doing and is doing, continues to do in your heart, Nate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Can you guys hear me all right? Is this on? Can you hear me? All right. They don't give me this mic at church. I have to use the handheld one, the elementary one, so... I laughed though because Don walked in and somebody said, "Oh, we let anybody in here." I was like, "Oh, wait till we see who's going to be speaking today." usually when I walk into a church, people think I'm going to rob them or something. So it's nice. Thank you for letting me come in and share. I had some pictures planned and then I left them with my work computer, which is at church today. So I'm just going to have my family stand. They're back here in the so Jana and Emmett. Emmett's I think in Children's Church. So that's Jana and Jack right there. Like Jeff said, Jana sings at our church. She has a beautiful voice. She loves making coffee. Emmett's back in Children's Church. He loves Spider-Man and playing the drums. Jack loves sweet potatoes and waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. So Emmett is 3 and a half. Jack just, he's about 15 months now. So, but I am. I'm really excited to share with you guys today. I asked Jeff, can I just, you know, stop by and share what we're doing? And he's like, yeah, why don't you take the sermon slot as well? So I was like, all right. But I want to share with you guys a little bit about what our family's doing and kind of how we got to this point in our life, because it's been kind of a crazy ride. So I'll start from the beginning, I guess, of Jana and I's relationship. But let's go back even further than that. A lot of you guys know, like Jeff said, I grew up in this church. Been here since I was probably about a week old. We were in church just as often as you can. My dad was always here setting up chairs, for whatever event. So we've been here. I've been here. I mean, Lolo Community Church has been such a foundational part of my life and my faith. And this church means a lot to me and a lot to my family. So it's a great privilege to be here today. But my wife and I met when we were both in high school. She moved from Butte. When we were juniors in high school, so she was the new girl, which I went to Valley Christian School, and a lot of the kids in my class, a lot of the girls were girls that, you know, we had known since we were in kindergarten. So by the time you get to high school, I mean, these girls are all like, you know, your friends, you've been around them, you know, they're old news kind of a thing. It sounds mean, but Jana was, I know, it's mean, I'm sorry. Either old news or they already had a boyfriend, I'll put it that way. But Jana was brand new. So I remember the first day that Jana came through and she was taking a tour of Valley Christian School, and all of us guys were just like, oh, yay, you know, like, let me show you to your locker. I don't know where your locker is, but these are lockers. But Jana was brand new, and for whatever reason, I'm still trying to figure out today, I'm the one that ended up with her. And so we were high school sweethearts. And graduated long, long, long time ago, back in 2007. And and right after we graduated, I went in. I jumped into the journalism program at the University of Montana, and Jana went away up to Lakeside, Montana, and she did what's called a DTS, a discipleship training school, with the YWAM base up there. So today, you'll hear me use a lot of acronyms. I'll explain what those acronyms are later, but I'll tell you what they mean. YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. There's a lot of, you know, big titles and stuff, so acronyms are great. YWAM is Youth with a Mission. A DTS is a discipleship training school, and that's kind of the introductory course when you do anything with YWAM. And then SBS is what I'm going to be talking about a little later, and that's the School of Biblical Studies. So Jana jumped into YWAM, and her family had a little bit of history with YWAM when she was just a kid. Her family packed up, left everything, jobs, schools, stuff like that, and went on a six-month DTS, a crossroads DTS is what they call it when you do it with your family. And they went to Ukraine. And what a DTS looks like is about half of it, you train. So you learn different, kind of just the basics of things, the character of God, the nature of God, basically how to share your faith, things like that, how to study the Bible. It's a very introductory course. And then after the first 3 months, you take 3 months and you apply that in the field. So you go to a different country, wherever God leads that team, you end up there. So Jana's family ended up in Ukraine. And so little did I know, that trip that she took way back when she was like 6 years old or something like that with her family with YWAM would be a huge part of my life later on too. So she graduated from high school, and she did her own DTS right after high school, and her team went on to Thailand, and they spent some time in Laos with the underground church there, bringing Bibles in, stuff like that. So, you know, back then, my girlfriend's away from me for 3 months. It was a horrible experience for me. I just was devastated, but she got back, and I missed her so much that I proposed to her when she got back. So we got engaged as soon as she got back, and we got married in 2008. At the ripe old age of 19 years old, and we got married, and I was still in school, and so she jumped into school at the School of Technology here in Missoula, and we're going to school. I mean, newlyweds, just having the time of our lives, going to school. I was working at the time at a tattoo shop, which seems weird looking at me, right? But working at a tattoo shop, and we got married, and like I said, I grew up in Lolo, and I loved it. As a teenager, I always wanted I want to go somewhere where like music's louder or something like that. And I never appreciated until I was older just how great this church is. So once I was married, I was like, I would love to stay here. But Jana's parents were going to a different church, and we realized like we got to find our own. We gotta branch out. So we tried just about every church we could think of in Missoula, and nothing really connected with us. Nothing really, I guess, felt right. And at the time, like I said, I was working at a tattoo shop, and my boss was a Christian, and he told me about this brand new church that was just starting up. And at the time, we were just meeting in the pastor's front yard. So I went, and that was the Lion's Den, and that was when the Lion's Den was first starting. So I went, and I introduced myself to the pastor, who's John Meek, and I basically told him, I have a heart to work with youth. And I've shared kind of my testimony with that here before, too. But my heart to work with youth really comes from Camp Utmost, because when I went up to camp before my ninth grade year, I just had such an awesome encounter with God and with believers and with people that loved me as a crazy, rebellious, didn't want to hear anything about God, kind of a teenager. And they loved me for who I was, and that just had such an impact on me. I knew I wanted to work with youth. So I introduced myself to this guy, and I had known him maybe for a couple of days. We met and had coffee. I said, I'd love to be a youth leader. He's like, all right, why don't you be our youth leader? So I was a voluntary youth leader, and things were great. Things were awesome. We were like I said, newlyweds, going to school, working, doing youth ministry. Everything was great. Everything was very, very comfortable for us. And if you know anything about God, a lot of times, if you get too comfortable, he likes to kind of push you out of the lazy boy. So we started praying. Both of us kind of felt like we needed to do something different. So we started looking into YWAM again. And like I said, the DTS, Discipleship Training School, is kind of the introductory course. So you have to take that before you do anything else with YWAM. Jana had taken it twice, technically, once with her family, once after high school, and I kind of had to catch up. So we started looking into doing a DTS. We actually just were like, hey, there's a base in Hawaii. Maybe we should look there. So that was the first place we looked, and we actually even applied, went through the whole application process, and we never heard back from them. This story is just, it's full of all these little, just crazy, cool things that God did throughout this process. But while Jana's family was in Ukraine the first time, they had a guy on their team. His name was James Hopkins, and he ended up staying in Ukraine after that trip, and he planted a YWAM base in this little town called Lutsk. Well, James, he married a Ukrainian lady there. Her name's Valya. He had no idea. I mean, we had talked to him maybe the year before. They were on furlough. They just came and visited for a while. I met him for the first time. He had no idea we were looking into doing YWAM or anything like that. He sent us an email, completely out of nowhere, said, hey, you guys were on my heart. Wondered if you guys would be interested in doing a DTS with us. in Ukraine. And I was like, but we're looking at Hawaii, let's not Ukraine. But we took that as just, I mean, as soon as we got that email, it was just such a sign from God for us that that was what we were supposed to do. So we packed everything up. We moved out of our apartment. We had my sister-in-law was staying there for us, but we moved out and we went to Ukraine, which was just such, was so weird and so bizarre and so outside of my comfort zone. Just totally foreign to us. We didn't know the language. We landed there. I mean, the very first day we got there, our ride forgot, or our ride heard that there was a flight cancel and thought it was ours. So there was nobody there to pick us up. We're trying to find somebody who speaks English. I mean, just completely out of our comfort zone. God just kind of plopped us there. And I was like, all right, what are we going to do here? So obviously I picked up from the airport and God kind of took us on this. Yeah, we're not still there. Took us on this amazing journey through Ukraine and gave us such a love for the Ukrainian people. And now, I mean, if you watch the news at all, our heart really, it goes out to the people in Ukraine right now and what's going on there. We really just had such a unique opportunity to get to know the Ukrainian people and get to understand the conflict that's there. But God wasn't done with us yet. If we weren't out of our comfort zone enough, what we did there, like I said, you split your DTS in half, you got training, and then you have outreach. Well, our training was in Ukraine. Our outreach, we found out later on, was going to be in Turkey, which is a Muslim country. So if we, like I said, weren't uncomfortable enough as it was in Ukraine, then God was going to take us into a Muslim nation. And while we were in Ukraine, we found out that Jana was pregnant. So all this just kind of coming together, all of a sudden now I have to bring my pregnant wife to a Muslim nation, and I was freaking out. I was, and it was just such a huge test of faith. But, and I could go into stories for hours and hours about how God moved in Turkey, and just again how we got this love for the not just the people of Turkey, but for Muslims and for people that follow the Islamic faith. It's such a faith that's full with lies, filled with lies and filled with hate. But the people that are trapped under that, some of them are so loving and so caring and don't realize what they've gotten themselves into sometimes, or maybe just don't fully understand. And it's a tough situation. But we have such a love for the Muslim people and for the people of Turkey. But like I said, I'm not here necessarily to talk about that. I would love to share stories. God, took me from being this nervous guy on the boat over to Turkey, and all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, doing like this open air message on the streets. I mean, just crazy stuff that God did. But it really gave us a heart for reaching out to people and for reaching out to different people from different nations, and that missionary heart, I guess. And so we stepped out of our comfort zone. God guided us through it, took us through all of that, brought us home. We're back in Missoula. The tattoo shop let me keep my job, thankfully. So I went back to that, went right back to church, and had our son, had Emmett, our firstborn. And then we just kind of went back to doing what we were doing. I worked at the tattoo shop for a couple more years, and then the opportunity came up for me to come on to our church full-time as the youth pastor, and now as the youth pastor and kind of the media director. So that opened up, and we jumped into it, and I figured, okay, this is what God has in store for us. This is where I'm going to be the rest of my life. God, took us on this journey, and now I'm a youth leader, and this is going to be it. And let's see, I'm not really going off my notes, so I got to make sure I stay on track here. Once again, we just got so comfortable, and everything was going great. We had our ministry, and I said, okay, well, Jan and I sat down. Now's the time. If this is where we're going to be forever, we need to buy a house. That's what you do, right? I mean, you have kids, you settle down, you buy a house. So we didn't make a lot of money, still don't make a lot of money. So we started to apply for a loan, for a low-income housing loan, for the rural development loan, if you know anything about loans. So we applied for this loan, and we figured we were a shoe-in. We're like, this is what God wants for us. We don't make enough money to, get a regular loan, and this is for low-income. So we just figured we were a shoe-in. Well, we got a call back after months of the loan application process. We got a call back, and the lady told me that we weren't accepted. And I was like, how can that be possible? I make next to nothing, right? So please give me a house, right? I don't make any money. But she said, you make too much money. I was like, no way. There's got to be some sort of clerical error or something like that. So I said, how much were we over? She's like, well, it wasn't much. It was just a little bit a little bit a month, but it all added up to $777 too much. And I just was kind of quiet on the phone, and I said, all right, thanks for your time. And I hung up, and if, you know, most of you guys know because you're chuckling, it's 777. I mean, that's kind of God's number. And I thought, all right, God, I guess we're not buying a house. I guess you have something else in store. I mean, I just couldn't, it was just pretty obvious. I couldn't argue that, that God kind of just, I don't know what it was. Maybe I was making a ton of money and it was disappearing somehow. I don't know, but we didn't buy a house. We obviously knew God had something else in store for us. So we you know, did the church thing, working in church. Jack was born June 22nd, 2013. And we had our family, and we had our ministry, and we had what we were doing, but we just knew. I mean, there was something inside of us that grew and grew and grew as the months went by, that God had something else in store for us. We didn't know what it was yet, but we knew he was talking to us again. He was stirring something in us, and some days I tried to fight it, because I was like, no, God, seriously, I'm good where I'm at. We don't need a house. We'll stay in this apartment our entire life, but I'm good where I'm at, and that's not what God had in store, obviously. So he started to lay YWAM on our hearts again, and we had finished both of us had finished a DTS, and so we're like, okay, God, what else do you want from us? And so YWAM has a base in Lakeside, Montana, where Jana took her DTS. And so I took a couple days, and I told Jana, I don't know what we're supposed to do, but I know it's something with YWAM, so I'm going to go up. I'm going to drive up to the base, spend the night there, talk with somebody about school, just see, you know, if any light bulbs come on, see if I, you know, get hit by lightning or something like that. And God's like, yes, this is it. So we went up, I went up there, and just kind of spent the night, went out on the lake and just sat and prayed and got away from work and you know, everything, stress, everything like that, and just prayed. And I prayed, and I remember sitting on the dock, and I was just waiting for it. I was just waiting for that moment of clarity, like, yes, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. And it just never came. Inside of me, it just didn't feel right. I was like, okay, well, I'll keep pushing into it. And so the next day, I met with some of the counselors, met with a professor, and ended up getting all signed up to take this class where I could read books from home and call my professor up each week, and we talk about it. So I said, okay, we'll just get the ball rolling. So I went home. Even though this didn't feel right, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, you could do good things, and it's not necessarily what God has in store for you, right? So I went home, read this first book that I was supposed to read, and I never heard back from my professor. Not once. I talked to him the day before the class technically started. I said, I have my book. Here's my phone number. Get a hold of me. He said, okay, I'll get a hold of you. And then I didn't hear anything from him, which is just, it's so unlike a professor, right? So at first I was like, well, this guy's very unprofessional. You know, I emailed him, I called him, left him messages, never heard anything back, read through the whole book, which was a very thick book, just all in the New Testament, okay? So this, you know, it's not like a fun novel to read, all right? It's interesting to me because I'm kind of a nerd, but it took time to get through this book, and I never heard back from him. And so I started thinking, okay, did he just maybe forget? Did my email get deleted somehow, go into his junk mailbox? I mean, how did this happen? And then finally, just when I never heard anything back, I said, all right, God, I guess this isn't what I'm supposed to do right now either. And I never heard back from him. So we kept looking into YWAM, and God just kept putting Hawaii on our hearts. And maybe it was in the winter when it was really cold and we just wanted to be somewhere warm. But we just kept thinking about it, and Jana and I kind of came, and it's fun when you've been married for a while, and you kind of have the same brain sometimes, and like one person will be thinking something, and then you realize that you've been thinking the same thing, but you haven't said anything to each other for months, and then all of a sudden you're like, why didn't we say this earlier? But we both felt like we were supposed to do that. And so we looked into the School of Biblical Studies, the SBS, in Kona, and I was looking at it, and I thought, all right, you know, let's just go for it. And we kind of came to this quiet agreement amongst ourselves that we would keep praying about it, but our plan was just to go for it, try to raise the money for it. If we didn't make it, we would just keep trying to raise money, and we'd go, you know, try to go the next semester. So we just happened to be talking about this with some family of ours, and just said, you know, we're thinking about this. We're just praying about it, and got a call from that person that night on our way home, or got a text from that person and said, if this is what God is calling you to do, then your school will be paid for. We'll take care of it. And sometimes God speaks to us in subtle ways. Sometimes God speaks to us in very, like, just swings the door wide open for you and shines a spotlight on it and says, walk through. And so that was just such an eye-opening thing for us. We said, all right, this is where we're supposed to go. I don't think I fought as hard with this one as I did with Ukraine. But he basically said, I'll pay for your school. That way, all you guys have to raise money for is for Jana and the kids to come and stuff like that and stay there. So, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Where are we going? I applied and was accepted later on for the School of Biblical Studies in Kona, starting up September 2014. So next month, we fly out on the 25th, which is my birthday. So we're going to have birthday dinner in Hawaii when we get there. We just decided, now we're living out of boxes, we're eating on the floor, we just sold all of our furniture, we're getting rid out of our apartment next week. It's a big step for us, because we got two kids, and now all of a sudden I'm taking them away from their grandparents, which my mom will never let me forget about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I apologize, Jeff, because you'll probably hear about it more in the next, in the next year. But we're taking our kids away from everybody. Granted, we're not going to Ukraine again, but we're moving our family away from everything that's familiar with us. So it's a big step. And let me explain a little more too here, just with those acronyms, what they are. I kind of told you what the DTS is. What YWAM is, Youth with a Mission, is it's a mission organization that was founded by Lauren Cunningham, and their goal was to take young people, youth, and send them out into the world and send them out as missionaries, equip them, disciple them, and then send them out. Well, YWAM grew and grew and grew and eventually became like a full-blown college, basically, a full-grown university. So on Kona, they kind of have their main hub, their main campus, and that's called the University of the Nations. And so that's where we're going to be, is the University of the Nations. And the way YWAM works is you can earn a degree through YWAM. You can earn a degree in biblical studies or Christian or something like that, but you can also earn degrees in nursing, in journalism, in media arts. I mean, they have all kinds of programs that are very cool, but it's all Christ-centered, and their goal is we want to send Christians out into every avenue of life. So we want to have Christians in Hollywood. We want to have Christians recording music. We want to have Christians in hospitals. We want to have Christians everywhere. Not just with the goal of earning a degree and making money, but with the goal of working somewhere where you are sharing your faith everywhere. And so the way that it works is anything you do with YWAM, you earn college credits for. So when we went to Ukraine, we earned some college credits, or I earned some college credits. Jan had, you know, done I don't know how many DTSs already before then, so she already had her credits for that. And the way that they do a lot of things is normally when you go to college, you take, you know, 4 or 5 classes a semester. Well, with YWAM, with the University of the Nations, like this class, the School of Biblical Studies, I'll take one class for 9 months. And this class is about 40 hours a week worth of schoolwork, and it's very intense. I mean, hopefully know the Bible back to front, front to back, everywhere in between at the end of this. I can't remember how many times they tell you we'll read through the Bible in this class, but we'll learn histories, we'll learn genealogies, we'll learn just about everything we can learn about the different books of the Bible, all with the purpose of being able to use that to share the gospel with people wherever we are. And so that's the way it works with YWAM, with the University of the Nations. And God's calling us there, and that's where we're going to be, at least for 9 months. And to be honest, and my mom hates hearing this too, but I don't know what's going to happen after that. I don't know if we'll be back. I don't know if God will call us somewhere else. I don't know if we're going to end up there or back here in ministry. That's the one thing that I don't know, and to be honest, it's a very comfortable place to be because we're just in God's hands. Whatever God has in store for us, that's where we're going to go when we're all done with this. So it's kind of a cool place to be in life. And so I say all this, and I don't think that I am some hero of the faith by any means. Like I said, we're moving to Hawaii. We're not moving to, you know, is it Ethiopia? The Henrys are going to
Ecuador,
which is very cool. And that's another thing I love about Lolo is the mission-mindedness, sending people out, training them up, getting them plugged in, sending them on short-term missions trips like the Alveras. I mean, just in getting people plugged in and then sending teams from church to go visit them and lift them up. That's such a great thing. I love that the local church does that. And the point is with this, though, is God's not leading us to some horrible place, you know, maybe out of our comfort zone, away from our family and stuff, but God's leading us on a path, and he's given us those signs along the way that we could have ignored, we could have looked over, and yeah, we'd probably be doing all right, still doing ministry, but we'd be missing out on the very best that God had for us. And God's calling us to get into his boat, and don't miss the boat, guys. This is what I have in store for you. So the reason I want to share our story, I guess, and where we're at today is just to encourage you to not miss the boat, not miss what God has in store for you, because you guys have probably all heard the story before, just an analogy of the guy that his hometown flooded, his house flooded, so he got up onto the roof, and he prayed to God, and he said, God, I believe in you, I have faith that you are going to rescue me, you're going to reach down and rescue me from this roof. And eventually, maybe a canoe comes by, a guy in a canoe, and the guy's like, get in my canoe, I'll help you, and the guy on the roof says, nope, God's going to save me, I'm going to be up here, God's going to help me. And later on, maybe a raft comes by, a rescue raft, the Navy or Coast Guard is like, hey, get in the raft, we'll rescue you. And he says, nope, I'm waiting for God, okay? God's going to come and rescue me. And then they're like, all right, see you later. And then a helicopter maybe comes by when the water's like touching the guy's feet. The helicopter sends the ladder down, says, you know, climb up, we'll save you. He says, no, God's going to save me. And then the guy drowns. And he gets to heaven, and, you know, he's got a bone to pick with God now. I mean, it's not really even getting to heaven, but he goes with God and says, why didn't you save me? I believed that you would save me. And God said, you dummy, I sent a raft, I sent a canoe, and I sent a helicopter to help you out, all right? And so a lot of times it's easy for us to look for these big miraculous signs that God puts in our life. We wait for the writing on the wall or the booming voice from heaven. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And we miss out on what God has in store for us. We miss out because we look over the little things that he does for us and that he shows us in this life. And when it comes to God's plan for this world, he uses us. He uses us as believers. Not only, and that's the amazing thing about God, not only does he save us, not only does he save us from an eternity away from him, an eternity in hell, but he gives us a plan and he gives us a purpose on this life. He doesn't just say, okay, you're saved, hang out on the roof until it's time to go. He says, get in the boat and go help other people off their roof, and get in the boat and go help other people know more about me. And a lot of times I think about that situation where God he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the storm, he wasn't in these big loud things. God was the whisper, God was the wind speaking to the prophet's ears. And so I can look back now. I mean, they say retrospect or hindsight is 20/20, and I look back on all these things that happened. Getting married to Jana, someone whose family has been involved with YWAM and has connections in Ukraine. Coming back from Ukraine and getting a passion to be in ministry, to pastor and to reach out to people, not getting that house loan, and then having somebody say, hey, your school will be paid for if this is what you're supposed to do. The signs got bigger and bigger, but if we missed the little ones along the way, we would have never seen, and we never would have been able to experience the big ones later on. And like I said, a lot of times we ask for the supernatural, we ask for God, we ask for that big sign, and we don't see it. But God is calling us to not miss the boat. He said, I have a plan for you. Follow what I have. And so I have a few verses here. If they're able to go up on the screen, there we go. Philippians 2:13 is the first one. I'll be kind of jumping from verse to verse. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And then the next one is Jeremiah 29:11, which most people can probably say by heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan, not only for our lives individually, but for the lives of everyone on this earth. He has a plan for this world, and his plan for us is to follow him and know him and make him known to other people. That's the YWAM motto, kind of, is to know him and to make him known. And both of those parts are very essential. Matthew 16, verse 18 is the next one I got here. It says, and I tell you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And this is a verse that I just kind of repeat to myself over and over. The gates of Hades, or sometimes the translation obviously is the gates of hell, will not overcome it. And this is something that's such an encouragement to me, because a lot of times we can get down, and a lot of times we can think we're not making a big enough of a difference. But God is going to build his church. Okay, he was telling Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. And he's still building his church. And the gates of hell are not going to overcome this church. And it's an encouragement to me, but it's also an eye-opener sometimes, because make no mistake, according to this verse, God's going to build his church. And it's not dependent on whether or not I get on board. And it's not dependent on whether or not I get in the boat. So God wants me to get in the boat, but if I don't, he's going to do it with or without me. And so my encouragement to you all today, and it's an encouragement to myself too on a daily basis, is am I going to be part of it, or am I just going to hang around until God comes? Because personally, I want to hear when I get into those gates, well done, good and faithful servant. Like Dave prayed, that was perfect, praying that we don't become that servant that buries that shekel, that buries what God has given us, but we got in the boat, we did what God had planned for us to do, we used our talents, we used our gifts, we noticed the little signs in our lives, and we picked up on those, and we did what God wanted us to do. And so I encourage you today, maybe think about the little things that God's showing you. If there's something in the back of your mind that this kind of triggers, you're like, you know, God, I think God may have done this a month ago. Read into that, maybe pray into that, and see what God has in store for you. Because the next big question is, how do you know? You know, you could go crazy your whole life trying to think, is this what God wants me to do? Is this, you know, reading into this? You know, I like soccer. Maybe I should go start a soccer camp in Ecuador or something like that. You could read into all these little signs and drive yourself crazy if you never knew if that's what God wanted you to do. And I had a conversation with a guy from our church the other day talking about this very thing. And we were talking about the church being the body of Christ. And he said, I don't know what I am. I don't know if I'm an ear. I don't know if I'm a nose. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I just kind of do things. He said, I'll call somebody up if I feel like I'm supposed to call them. I'll help somebody out if I feel like I'm supposed to help them. Give somebody a hug. But he said, I don't know exactly what my calling is. And so my first question to him was, are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time in God's word? Are you talking with him? He said, well, a little, I guess. Then I encourage him to keep reading his Bible, because if we're spending time with God every day in his word and praying to him, and not just praying and speaking to him, but listening to him, listening to see what his spirit has to say in our hearts. If we're doing that every day, then something starts to happen with our heart. Our heart starts to turn from a human heart that's pointed towards our own selfish goals and desires, and it starts to change into God's heart. And so often we feel like we're called to do something. Like when I felt that call to go into youth ministry, I tried to almost talk myself out of it. I was like, no, I'm just too immature. I just want to hang out with high schoolers all the time. That's too much fun. That can't be what God wants me to do. And it was the same with Hawaii. Like, there's no way God wants us to go to Hawaii. That's too, like, God doesn't want you to have any fun almost, you know? Like, and I thought about that, and then this is what came into my mind. God asked me the same questions. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying to me? And I said, well, yeah, I am. I'm trying to spend time with you. And that's kind of what he whispered into my heart was, then I'm changing your heart to be like my heart, and I want to give you the desires of your heart. And so instead of fighting it, instead of thinking, you know what, I can't be in Hawaii studying the Bible, I need to be in like a monastery studying a Bible or something like that, taking a vow of silence, we chased after it. And so I want to encourage you also today, if you're spending time in the Word, if you're giving yourself over to God, and something pops into your head that maybe you can't shake, an idea for a ministry, or maybe I need to be part of children's ministry or something like that, there's a good chance that if your heart is being changed to be more like God's heart, then those ideas that you get are kind of a glimpse of what God has in store for you and what his plan is for you. In Psalm 37:4, and I kind of quoted this already, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And now there's kind of a fad out there, and it's, I guess, always been out there in the church, is, you know, get good with God and he's going to give you a brand new car. He's going to give you everything you need. You're going to have financial security, 401k. You're going to be set for 60 years, you know, if you're set with God. And that's not what he's saying in this verse at all. What he's saying is the more that our heart becomes like God's heart, the more our desires are going to be his desires. If I'm delighting myself in the Lord and my heart is becoming more like him, the desires of my heart that he says he's going to give me are the desires that he has for my heart, or that he has for my life. And so the cool thing about being close with God is it takes all the second guessing out of everything. You don't have to worry that you're reading too into things or not reading too into things. The more you are in alignment with God, his spirit talks to you and he answers for you, and you don't have to worry about it. All right, see, I am getting carried away here. And the next important thing is, and I'm going to, you know, start to wrap it up here, and I wrote all this down really quick this morning because it kind of hit me, and I was like, okay, God, thanks for helping me out with my message. And then I got all dressed, and he had, like, all these other things, so I was like, okay, I'll write it down real quick. But spending time with believers is the other important thing. If you're spending time with God, that's the number one thing, but spending time with believers is the next thing. We are the body of Christ. Like that guy said, I don't know where I fit into the body of Christ, but he knew that we are a body, and how does an ear know what to listen to if the eye doesn't see it first, right? Or how does the nose know what to smell if the eye doesn't see it first and the brain doesn't recognize it, the feet don't walk towards it? You are all parts of the body of Christ, and we all need each other. And that's how we're going to recognize God's plan in our life too, is spending time with each other. And I'll go through these verses really quick here. Romans 12, verse 5 says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So we all belong to each other, whether you want to or not. We're all one big family here, so we're all in this together. The next verse is Ephesians 2, verse 19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." So it's like a big, you know, sometimes awkward family reunion when God's people get together, all right, around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And then the last one is Hebrews 10, verse 25, says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And this is one that just I go to over and over again, because it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." And that's a habit that you'll see a lot more frequently occurring in today's society, as church kind of just becomes an option. I don't feel like going to church today. The game's on today. We want to go camping, whatever it is. And I'm not saying don't spend time with your family or anything like that, but church, I think, especially in America, needs to be a priority like it used to be. Like I said, I was at church all the time when I was a kid. Even if I didn't want to go, I can probably count on one hand the amount of times we didn't go to church because we were sick or something like that. And even if we stayed home, we had a little church service in our living room, all right? My parents always invested in me this belief that's so important, I think, that church is essential. And we're going to miss God's plan. We're going to miss God's boat if we're not spending time with other believers as well. Church is vital to understanding what God has in store for your life. And it helps us see what God's plan is for us, and it helps us to help others see what God's plan is and help them recognize the signs that God's placing in their life. So I'll end with this verse, or these verses here. This is Acts 1, verses 6 through 11. And it says this: "So when they met together," these are the disciples, "they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" This is after Jesus rose from the dead. "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was gone," so just like this, for who knows how long. "And when suddenly two men dressed in white," so all of a sudden two angels just appear and they don't notice it, "stood beside them and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" And so I read this the other day, and it hit me. You got the disciples. They just spent 3 years with Jesus, do all these amazing miracles, die, raise again. He just floated up into heaven in front of them, and they're all standing there like this, just waiting. What do we do next? Oh, yeah. Drooling maybe a little bit, I don't know. I mean, to the point where God had to like send angels like right beside them and be like, "Hello, what are you guys doing standing here? Jesus is in heaven, but he's coming back. And basically the angels say, Jesus didn't spend these 3 years with you, do miracles, die and raise again for you to just stand here and look up and sit on the roof and wait for God to reach down. He said, you are here to do a job. You're here to do a purpose. So I want to encourage you today, look for the signs in your life that's leading you towards that. Your full potential doesn't lie in a self-help book, doesn't lie in financial security or anything like that that the world tells us. Our full potential lies in the work that Jesus has called us to do in this life. And so, yes, we're here today, my family and I, and if you want to know more about our trip to YWAM, we would love to talk to you about it. And yes, we're still raising a little bit of support for this trip. We're trying to raise some monthly support, and we're getting close to our goal. And so if anybody is interested at all in helping us out with that, we would love to talk to you a little more. I know some people have already shown some interest in it, so you can talk with us afterwards. You'll be able to just make your checks out to Lolo. You can give through the church. But more than that, we just want to partner with the church here in Lolo. And just ask for your prayer support. Prayer for us as we move, as we take our kids, you know, away from their family and their friends here and jump into something new. Jana's going to be working on the campus there at a coffee shop, which is great. It actually helps with our living costs over there, knocks them down a little bit. But we ask for your prayers more than anything. My mom, I'm sure, will be able to give you all kinds of updates on what we're doing, where we are, and we would love to stay in contact with you. We're building a website so you can check it out, follow us, see what we're doing, and we hope that that'll encourage you. And I hope that today, too, if there's anything that you walk away from this is spend that time with God, spend that time with other believers, and don't ignore the signs that God's been putting in your life, because he's got some great things in store for everybody, no matter what age. So that's what we want to encourage you guys with today. Thank you again for letting us be here, for being just so warm. I love coming back to Lolo. I really do. And just being able to see everybody and get hugs and donuts and coffee and stuff like that too. So thank you, Jeff, for inviting us. And God bless, guys. Thank you.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Lamb of God, worthy.
Let's close our time together with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nate and Jana and their family, and we thank you for what Nate has shared with us this morning. And Lord, we want to pray your hand of blessing, your provision, your guidance and wisdom on Nate and his family as they get more training and they just seek to pursue you, seek to follow your lead, seek to be attentive to your guidance, your direction, wherever you have for them to go. And Lord, I appreciate his words this morning, and I appreciate him as a guy, both of them, as folks that are willing to allow you to direct them. And Lord, I know that should be all of us. And Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart to see the different ways that you are working in us and moving and leading and guiding us and directing us to be and transforming us as you transform our hearts, as we talked about, the delighting in you and you change our hearts so that our delights line up with your delights. Lord, such a blessing. And so we thank you for this message, this reminder, this opportunity for us to refocus our thoughts and the direction of our life on you. Now, may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.